New Zealand's attitude to donating organs after death has become an issue of debate. An Auckland man whose child will need a liver transplant has presented a petition to a select committee in Parliament seeking public discussion on New Zealand's low rate of organ donation. Only about 10 New Zealanders per million donate their organs when they die, far fewer than in Australia or England or really any other Western country you can name. Health professionals say there's plenty of reasons for this, and they're resisting pressure for a nationwide campaign encouraging New Zealanders to donate their organs. Filmmaker Peter Jackson has already offered his services free of charge to make a TV commercial highlighting the issue, but that has the doctors feeling a bit nervous. Well, let's talk about this. Andrew Tukey is the father, the Auckland man who, as I mentioned, has organised this petition and appeared before the select committee. He joins me now. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Linda.
What prompted you to get a petition up to Parliament?
Well, when I discovered the low rates of organ donation in New Zealand, I contacted everybody, anybody and everybody, including politicians, and I just had very little response. I think they were all sympathetic, but nobody was prepared to put their neck on the line. So I thought, I'll get a petition together to force a select committee hearing so that people have to listen.
And have to think about it.
And have to think about it, certainly.
Because this is personal for you.
It started off as personal. I mean, obviously it's my daughter who sparked it all off, but the issue has become much bigger since then. It's not just, if my daughter had a transplant tomorrow, I wouldn't stop. I'd still keep going for all those other people waiting.
How many people are waiting?
Usually between 300 and 400 are on the list at any one time.
And at the moment, only about 35, 36, 37 a year get organs?
Yeah, that's the rate. Last year was, I believe, 38, but it's usually around...
So when you're on the list, I mean, your daughter actually, you've been told that at a certain time she's got a disease which will mean she'll need a liver transplant, but she doesn't need one right now. So you're not, strictly speaking, on the list, are you?
No, we're not on the list for the list yet. She'd have to be a lot worse before she goes on the list.
And then when you go on the list, no one can tell you how long you might wait.
No, it's all down to medical conditions, and it's a bit of a lotto, really. At the end of the day, when she needs a transplant, is will there be somebody there with the right compatibility issues? So it doesn't matter how far I get with this campaign and public awareness thing. At the end of the day, it'll be what's available on the day.
And of those 400, about 400 people who are waiting for an organ at the moment who are on the list, I guess their families are contemplating the odds, really. I mean, the odds are for some of those people they won't get one.
Yeah, well, just in the liver side of things, there's people waiting for many organs, but my primary was the liver. Last year, 33% of people died whilst waiting for a liver.
Why do you think New Zealanders are reluctant to give their organs?
I don't think they are reluctant.
Well, we don't know that really, do we?
No, we don't.
We have so little information.
There isn't anything in the way of public information. There's many factors that influence it, but and public education or awareness is only one cog in the wheel. There are many other factors which should be addressed in hospitals to increase the donor rates.
So when you went to the select committee, what did you want the MPs to do?
Well, really to review the whole organ donation system and revamp it and sort out the problems there are with it, and to do a public awareness campaign. But as I say, that's the doctors believe that the money is best spent in the intensive care units, and I'm all for them spending the money in the area they think will get the most benefits.
The health professionals are very anxious about your campaign, aren't they? You make them nervous.
That's good. I'm pleased about that. If it gets some action from them, then I will make them nervous, and we have plans to make them even more nervous over the next few months.
Really? Like what? Like how?
Well, I can't reveal too much on that, otherwise I wouldn't be so nervous when it comes up.
See, the thing is, you've got Peter Jackson, who's already offered his services, as I said, to make a campaign. How did that happen? Most people can't even get past his gate.
Yeah. Well, actually, Peter's, we were introduced through a mutual contact, and he offered his support as, not as Peter Jackson, film director, but as Peter Jackson, a concerned father himself. And for the past year, we've been communicating on that basis. He's just been offering his support. I guess I've been chipping away at him a little bit more and more to put his name to things, and he's actively involved, and of course we are making a TV commercial next month.
So how will you, I mean, how do you know what to put in the TV commercial? Yeah. Who's writing it?
M&C Saatchi, because world famous advertising agency, have offered their services for free and are providing a producer. I believe, so M&C Saatchi have told me the value of this commercial so far, and that's before getting it to air, if I was to go out and pay for it, would be in the region of $350,000.
I bet it would be. And then are you going to try and find people to fund it on air? Because that's going to cost money too.
I don't think I'll have a problem with that. Sponsors, I think, would be quite happy to be involved with this, especially as it's a Peter Jackson, M&C Saatchi production.
But the health professionals, I mean, Colin Feek from the Ministry of Health told the MPs that a nationwide campaign would not be a good idea, a publicity campaign, a TV commercial.
I don't think he's saying it's not a good idea. I think he's
saying... Well, they don't want one.
Well, I think he's saying the money would be better spent elsewhere. I think it is important to have a campaign, public education campaign, as part of what they're doing.
Because the message in the TV commercial will be what?
Talk to your family. That's it. Because under the current system, having it on your driving license means nothing. Your family is still asked at the end of the day. And so if you haven't discussed it with your family, then having it on your driver's license is pointless.
So you don't have a problem with families being asked, but you want people to have a discussion so that families know,
yes,
clearly, well in advance, what it is that their loved one's intentions might be.
That's right. And so we have to help initiate that discussion by saying, talk to your family. That's the main way. And they say they're not going to do a public awareness campaign, and even Colin indicated that yesterday. Personally, I think it's quite rude to expect the public of New Zealand to donate their organs and not ask them in advance, but ask them when they're at their lowest ebb, at their most traumatic moment.
And well, if the doctors, though, feel that, I mean, basically they tell us that advertising campaigns such as this haven't worked overseas. They haven't put up the rate of donation. But one thing that, you know, as you mentioned a little earlier, they're more interested in spending the money on training doctors. Now, a recent survey looked at 1,404 deaths that had occurred in New Zealand and ICU wards. Of those 1,400 deaths, 102 were potential organ donors, but only 69 of the 102 were ever asked, the families were ever asked, if they would approve those people actually donating their organs. Now that tells us something about the doctor's attitudes, doesn't it? Because if 102 were potential donors, 102 ought to have been asked, you would have thought.
Well, there are other reasons. I mean, put yourself in the position of the doctor. It's not always appropriate to ask. I mean, it could break out in violence towards the staff just by asking. So they have to be careful. It's
delicate.
Yes, it is very delicate.
If your foot, I mean, if the boot was on the other foot and you were not the father of a child who's going to need an organ, but the father of a child who had been tragically killed in a car accident, would you want to be approached at that moment?
At that moment, no. In fact, how this all came about in the first place is that I didn't tick my driver's license to be a donor. And it still has that on my driving license. I of all should people with a daughter who will need a transplant should be, but then I find out that was pointless. And the reason I didn't tick it is because I went to, you know, get my driving license in my lunch break. You get a little pamphlet. You can't make a decision while you stood in a queue on organ donation, you know, while you on your lunch break getting your license. They say it's about informed consent, but nobody's informed. People are only asked at the time of their loved one's death. I mean, people need to know more of the process. Also in that report, it said 35, I think, families said no. Now, some of those families may have said yes had they been aware of the process. They may have had some misconceptions or preconceived ideas about organ donation, so immediately said no, because people get their ideas about organ donation from television shows, which always portray it in a bad light, because where else do we get our information from?
All right, stay with me. Janice Langlands is New Zealand's donor coordinator, and she joins us on the line. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
This is a difficult area, isn't it?
Yes, it is difficult because it's such an emotional, it is an emotional thing and an extremely emotional time for families in that situation.
Doctors, however, seem to be reluctant to talk about this. I mean, I'm not critical of you. Here you are, you're on the program and good on you. But, you know, it was very difficult to find a doctor who would come on the program and talk about this. And I have to say that my producers and I found that somewhat surprising. Why is there a reluctance? Why is it so sensitive?
Oh, I guess, it's not that they're reluctant to talk about it. I guess those spokespeople that we normally approach were unwilling. Maybe that's because some of the views are portrayed they don't agree with, but everyone's
Well, that's discussion, isn't it?
Yes,
do doctors here and health professionals feel like they're being pushed into having a nationwide publicity campaign that they don't want?
No, they don't, and I mean, I don't disagree with Andy. I agree that a publicity campaign would be good. However, we all know, that there is limited health money, and what we are probably saying is that if there is limited money, we believe that by putting money into supporting health professionals, we're more likely to see an increase in the number of organs available for transplantation.
The fact is, though, that campaign isn't going to cost you guys a cent.
We're not talking about money here, are we?
We're talking about whether or not it's a good idea, or it might even work, to have greater public awareness. Now, what we heard from Colin Feek from the Ministry before the Select Committee yesterday is that from overseas examples show us that you have these kind of campaigns, you have this kind of publicity, but in fact it doesn't penetrate.
Well, it's difficult to... What we've seen is that there hasn't been a big increase in donor numbers, but one of the problems is that, for example, in New Zealand, road trauma has decreased over the years. That probably 15 years ago, the main cause of death or resulting in death and then organ donation, people going on to donation, was from motor vehicle accidents. Well, that doesn't happen nowadays. So in a climate where our potential donor pool is decreasing, our donor rate has really remained unchanged, and that's probably the same internationally as well. So it's difficult to say that publicity campaigns have had an effect or haven't had an effect, because there's other factors influencing the number of people that can be donors.
These numbers that Andy Tukey and I were discussing a moment ago, 1,404 deaths in ICU, 102 of those potential organ donors, only 69 asked.
That's right.
I look at that and I see perhaps that doctors find it difficult to ask. Is there another possible explanation?
Their doctors do find it difficult. That's not to say that they don't ask, but there are other reasons, such as if people have got a history of malignancy, except for primary brain tumour, they aren't suitable for organ donation. If they've had sepsis, if they've been, had a period where they have, had low blood pressure, for example, they may not be suitable for donation. So they may have been referred to our office. We've consulted with the transplant units and they've said that they have not been suitable to go on to organ donation. So, in some circumstances, as Andy has said, I mean, if the family doesn't understand or have some understanding that their loved one has died, then you can't go on and ask them about organ donation.
True, but in that survey it only showed, I think, was it four families who didn't believe that, who were in denial about the death. So let's take the four out. That still leaves an awful lot who possibly could have been approached and may have even been willing to have organs donated, but were never given that opportunity.
Yes, so I mean, they're probably, well, the 35 families that were not asked, there was, some had tumours, some had infection, one had positive infectious disease testing, and five spontaneously refused. Some couldn't be managed until they were asked about donations. So there would have been some that could have been asked and should have been asked, but there were other reasons for some of them as well.
Are we too squeamish about this?
I think that is changing.
But I mean, if you look at the New Zealand's donor rate compared to other countries that we might compare ourselves with on, you know, on any other issue, I mean, New Zealand comes out, what is it, third to lowest rate? We are much lower than Australia, the UK, France, Sweden. I'm not going to talk about Spain because I know they have a very high take-up rate, but they basically, there's a question of coercion in Spain. But, I mean, name me a country and we come almost always below it.
Well, and that's true, but in fact, and even though we can't, I mean, Andy would say that we pat ourselves on the back by being similar to Australia, even though we're the lowest in the world. Australia and New Zealand has a similar donor rate. In fact, we've been slightly, until last year, we have always been slightly above the Australian donor rate. And I mean, I think that there are, even though we've got different cultural issues in Australia, I think the population has similar probably beliefs about death and what we want, our individual rights, etc. So we do have a similar donor rate to Australia, and that's about 10 per million of population.
We don't have a donor rate that's high enough, anywhere near high enough, to provide enough organs for the people who are waiting for it. I mean, the technology has got ahead of us culturally on this.
That's right, but yes, that's right.
So then whose job is it to try and bring those competing factors together?
Well, I don't think, realistically, we'll never bring them together. Even Spain, who has a donor rate, probably three times ours.
But you can bridge the gap.
You can.
And whose job is that?
I agree, and that's what the Ministry has agreed, that they do need to address the issue. They do see it as a problem. And what they're saying, and which is probably what we're saying, or they agree with our support, is that if there's money available and limited money, initially we need to put it into providing the education and support in intensive care units, because there's already the potential donor pool there. However, we don't disagree with education for public awareness, education in schools. I mean, that can only help.
Well, exactly. I mean, these things could move hand in hand, couldn't
they?
Right. If you're talking about a cultural shift, a change in attitude to sort of... an awareness about the potential good you can do after your own death. I mean, none of us are expecting that you're going to get that change overnight. These things take time.
No. And
in fact, a nationwide publicity campaign, which has got the backing of, you know, highly respected and well-known figures like Peter Jackson, could actually help the cause, couldn't it?
Oh, no, I agree.
Is it that the Ministry of Health has come down like a ton of bricks saying they absolutely don't want it, has gone to a select committee telling MPs it doesn't want it?
Then I wasn't at the select committee, and Andy was, but was there to hear what was going on. I believe that they, and it might have been the way it came out in the paper this morning, I believe that they don't disagree with a public awareness campaign, but they don't have the funding to actually do, or if there's any funding available that they believe that it should be put into the health professional education, where it is more likely to make a difference in a shorter period of time.
Which no one disagrees with, actually.
No one disagrees with it.
It's funny, because no one's actually disagreeing here. Everyone agrees we need greater public awareness. You've got limited funds, let's spend it on the doctors. But here's a public campaign that's basically being handed to the ministry on a plate. It's going to cost them nothing.
I agree, but Andy did go to, well, my understanding that Andy went to the Ministry of Health also to get funding for airtime to show it on TV.
Did you, Andy?
I asked if they would like to be involved with it, and basically...
And they said no?
Yeah, no.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, it's been good having you on the program. I think it's an issue that it's good to talk about. Andy Tukey there, organiser of this petition, and it sounds like you will be seeing the campaign sometime soon. Janice Langlands, New Zealand's donor coordinator.